So if you were to type into your computer search the words "that one friend" and look at the images that come up, you'll find that we all seem to know someone who's a little different than others. Image number one, yeah, there we go. There's just one example of someone who just isn't going to automatically do what everybody else is doing. And then if you're a cat lover, there's just always got to be one that's a little different. For dog lovers, yes, there's always that one dog that stands out too. Same is true of horse lovers. And even for bird watchers, there's just always that one that's just a little different. And then there's that one friend who puts the extra effort into posing for a really great picture and annoys everyone else in the process. Well, as fun as that might be, you know, we as Christians, I think we know that we don't want to be weird just for the sake of being weird. And I know some of you maybe don't even need to try, but we do need to realize that we're going to be different than most of the world that operates apart from faith in God. And at times, that might make us seem like that one friend, you know, that's just really off. But we need to be okay with that. If what we're doing is really driven by our faith in Christ and we're sincerely following his leading, it's going to make us different. Our goal isn't to be different. Our goal is to be like Jesus, right? But that will make us different. Wisdom is a concept that we see in Scripture. You see it a lot. And the Greek word for Sophia that you find in, for wisdom, I gave it away, that you find for wisdom in the New Testament is Sophia. And that word has a pretty broad range of meaning. But it's derived from the word for clear, okay? So in essence, wisdom means to see and think clearly, with clarity, to understand rightly, to make good judgments, and find the right course of action. It's different from just knowledge, in that knowledge is simply information. But wisdom, Sophia, adds understanding to the picture, knowing how to rightly use the knowledge in a good way. Some would say that a synonym for wisdom would be moral skill. I like that. So, when you put it that way, well, who wouldn't want to have wisdom, right? Wouldn't everybody want to be wise, if you put it that way? Well, here's the issue. You see, there are two vastly different understandings of wisdom, and they're in conflict with each other. So that even if you're talking with somebody about wisdom, you may be using the same word, but you're talking about two completely different things. Today's text addresses this reality, and it helps us sort this out. And it's important because we need to understand this issue, that the differing understandings of wisdom, where they come from, what that difference really is in essence, and where it leads. If we sort this out, it'll explain a lot of what we see in our world, and maybe even explain a lot of what's in our own lives. This is really significant because the type of wisdom by which you operate will determine which way your life will go. One of two ways. So, just to set the stage, let's take a look at several verses in 1 Corinthians where the Apostle Paul contrasts these two very different kinds of wisdom. He says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man, the wise person? Where is the scholar, the teacher of the law? Where is the blasphemer, the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. There is so much there. But it's clear that Scripture recognizes two vastly different understandings of what wisdom is. And so it's important for us to be sure that we're focusing on the right one, because we become like whatever we exalt. You ever think about that fact? Whatever we exalt, whatever we hold out there as the ideal, well, we become like that. And so we want to be like Jesus. And to do so, we need his wisdom. And so to that end, we're going to take a look at your outline there in the bulletin about some differences between these kinds of wisdom. The first one is this. It's a different source. Okay, these two kinds of wisdom have a different source, and it's heaven versus the devil. Heaven versus the devil. So, you know, this is an important question that people aren't asking enough these days, I believe. And the question we're not asking enough is, where does this come from? What's the source? Or who's behind this? We really need to be asking that a whole lot more. But look at the text, verse 15. It says, such, quote, wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Now, that seems to be making a pretty clear dichotomy, right, between these two different kinds of wisdom. There's a wisdom that comes down from heaven. It's wisdom from God. It is true and it is right. But there's also a wisdom that is definitely not from there. And some might say that wisdom is just worldly wisdom, you know, kind of just like street smarts. And hey, nothing wrong with that. But to look at what the text says here, and this is really significant, it says the wisdom that isn't from heaven is earthly. It's just reflecting this limited view of earth, ignoring that there's anything beyond earth. That maybe seems harmless enough, but James doesn't leave it at that. It's not only earthly, it is unspiritual. And that's a hard word to translate from the original. Some of your versions might say, use the word sensual, okay? Soulish is a word that might fit very well to translate it. But it's a wisdom that only takes into account our humanity at a basic level, unspiritual, ignoring the fact that we're made in the image of God, ignoring the fact that who we are spiritually is the deepest part of who we are. It ignores all of that. Okay, that's worse, but James doesn't even stop there. He goes further to say, you know, this wisdom that some people think is fine because it's just earthly, it's just human. He says, no, it's worse than that. It's of the devil. It's of the devil. It's downright demonic. Wow, that's some strong language. It almost sounds a little over the top, doesn't it? Listen, and C.S. Lewis does a great job of this, talking about this in Screwtape Letters, which the youth are studying these days, that one of Satan's most effective schemes is to make human wisdom seem like it's enough, that seeking for God's wisdom, that's a little crazy, and that's all it takes sometimes for people to think they don't need God, don't need salvation, is this kind of thinking. And so in a very real way, it is demonic because Satan uses this kind of thinking to keep people from God. God is the thinking that God is not required in the mix of it all. And I know it's strong, you know, strong thing that he says here, but it says what it says, that wisdom apart from God is demonic. People might think, oh, it's just earthly, it's just soulish, it's just human. But Satan is a liar and the father of all lies, right? And it is a lie that there is wisdom, there is true wisdom apart from God. And so That's where it comes from. It comes from the enemy. Now, to be clear, just because you're a Christian does not mean that you are using heavenly wisdom. And just because a person might be an unbeliever doesn't mean that they can't use God's wisdom. There are many times that Christians use the devil's wisdom, and times when unbelievers are unknowingly operating in God's wisdom. Some examples of what I mean. Christians, sadly, are sometimes not above using very worldly wise ways of operating that are the opposite of what God calls us to. Using power plays, revenge, even doing church work, doing God's work. But deep down, it's about self, it's about getting what I want, and it's poison. And you know what? This may be dangerous territory, but listen, you know, I do believe God wants his people to be involved in the political process, but the way that some Christians do that is definitely not operating in God's wisdom. Too many Christians somehow have become convinced that the kingdom of God comes with political power. And they're willing to stoop to the world's ways of argumentative ugliness and lovelessness and thinking that will get them what they want and somehow that'll make the world a better place. And I believe the name of Jesus is dishonored when that happens. On the other hand, I've been surprised how many, for example, business leaders discover concepts that just work in the business world. And they become successful operating by these principles and these concepts. And so because they're successful, they do seminars and write books. And I see some of the content of that, and I'm like, you know what? That's straight out of the Bible. They don't even know it. But they're operating by Christian truth and God's wisdom. And it's working for them. They don't even realize it. They're just not yet aware that its source is heaven. So you get the idea, different sources of these two kinds of wisdom. Secondly, the outline is different content. Different content. So we're saying that there's a different source for each of these two kinds of wisdom, but what about the content, what they actually say? I'm sure there's a host of issues that would fit under this category, but that we could compare. But specifically in the text, James points out some really interesting differences. And letter A is goodness versus success. You see, some people believe wisdom translates more into goodness, and others think it translates more into success. And those are very different assumptions. Look at the text, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility comes from wisdom. Clearly, he's saying that wisdom, real, true wisdom, should translate into a good life, good deeds. In the same way, he said earlier that real faith translates into good deeds. In a previous message, we looked at that. So real wisdom and understanding translates into good deeds as well. It's going to come out if you love God and love people. That's what wisdom produces. And that's what all of Scripture boils down to, in essence. And you know, verse 17 gives more of the content of heaven's wisdom. And these may not be the first things you think of when you think of that word wisdom. But if not, well, guess where the adjustment is needed, right? If this is what Scripture says real wisdom is, then that's what it is. Look at verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Just to briefly touch on each of those, you know, pure. Really, is that's a definition for wisdom? If you really want to be wise, to have a pure heart with pure motives, to just want what's right and good, that's essential to wisdom. Secondly, peace-loving. You know, wise people are not eager for a fight. They're wanting peace. Considerate, meaning gentle and kind and willing to take the other person's perspective into consideration, to try to seek to understand why do they think what they think. submissive. That's not meaning weak, but it means not stubborn, not obstinate, but you're willing to yield for the sake of someone else. Full of mercy and good fruit, compassionate, ready to help anyone. Impartial, and we looked at this earlier in the book, not favoring one group over another. And sincere. I mean, you know what? True wisdom, there's no hypocrisy in it. It's real. What you see is what you get. So, folks, that's a lot of content to what biblical godly wisdom is about. That is a high standard, a high bar for wisdom. And yet it's so practical. I mean, folks, think about how different our world would be if more people sought wisdom defined in this way. But in contrast to that, I use the word success to summarize what verse 14 speaks of. Bitter envy and selfish ambition. In the Greek, bitter envy speaks of a zeal, you know, a fire that's all about self. It's a sinful zeal. And the selfish ambition speaks of a self-seeking attitude bent on gaining advantage and prestige for one's self or one's own group. So in a word, it's the kind of wisdom that's focused on success. I just want to win. So you see the contrast? On the one hand is the idea of using our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding, and harnessing that with the goal of living a good life, to put our energies toward the question, how can I bring blessing to my world around me? How can I show kindness? How can I show the goodness of God through my life? Whereas the other approach is, how can I use my wisdom and understanding to get ahead, to win, to get what I want, to be more successful than the other guy? Now, those two approaches really are as different as night and day, aren't they? And of course, if you put it like that, it's easy to see which is the godly approach. But it really can get fuzzy in real life, right? I mean, our motives can deceive us. Where we're thinking, you know, I want to do what's right, and yet sometimes we can be deceived into using all the wrong ways to accomplish what we think is right. And bitter envy and selfish ambition can be disguised as goodness. Are we willing to let God examine our hearts and show us ways we've maybe been using the wrong kind of wisdom? It might hurt. In fact, I can pretty much guarantee it'll hurt if you're really open to letting God show you yourself. But God is faithful to his goal of redeeming and not destroying us if we're courageous enough to say, okay, God, show me my heart and how I'm not really understanding your wisdom. So, different content. First, goodness versus success. Letter B, humility versus boasting. I noticed something in this. Verse 13, in the context of talking about the wisdom that produces goodness, speaks about deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. That's kind of worth pondering for a bit. True wisdom, according to Scripture, makes a person humble. Some might not expect that. You know, we know, as the Bible says, that knowledge puffs up. And people can get arrogant when they think they know lots of stuff. But wisdom, true wisdom, makes you humble. Because when you gain wisdom, real understanding, you know that knowing a lot of stuff doesn't make you great. And the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And that's wisdom. And that keeps us humble. And you can't be proud when you see those things clearly about yourself. Again, that word wisdom has that idea of clarity, right? When we see ourselves clearly as God sees us, there's no room for pride, just gratitude that God would love people as broken as we are. But the other kind of wisdom, the kind that's wrapped up in envy and selfish ambition, verse 14 warns, you know what? Don't boast about that. That is not a good thing. That's the kind, that's what the evil kind of wisdom will do. Not only does it blind people to how wrong selfish ambition is, but it even goes so far as to cause people to boast about it and say, you know what? Yes, I'm after success, and I'm so great, that's what I'm going to achieve. But you remember some time ago when we were in the book of Daniel, and King Nebuchadnezzar built statues to his own honor, and God humbled him. He leveled him. I mean, he took away his sanity until he finally humbled himself and acknowledged that God is king. And he concludes what his portion of what he wrote about that by saying, yeah, God knows how to humble people. And he still does today, folks. And people just look foolish then. You know, what seemed to be wisdom will sooner or later be shown for the arrogant foolishness that it is. It's true wisdom that chooses to humble ourselves. Well, I'm sure there are many more things that we could look at in regard to the different content of God's wisdom versus the world's wisdom. But let's move on to number three in your outline there. Different results, okay? Different results, different places these two kinds of wisdom lead to. Evil disorder versus peaceful righteousness. So, again, we're following this all the way from the different sources of the wisdom, different content of the wisdom, different places that they lead, different results. The text, verse 16, tells us where the world's wisdom leads. It says, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice." Again, wow, that's a pretty strong statement. Anytime you find people operating by that kind of wisdom, you're going to find disorder, chaos, and every evil practice. You name it, it's going to be there when we're operating in the wrong way. But we've seen it, right? I mean, you put people together, and they may be talented, they may be intelligent, they may have a lot going for them, but if they're driven by self with a goal of what's in it for me, well, you put a group of them together, and because they can't all be the center of the universe at the same time, it will get ugly sooner or later. It'll be like a season of Survivor, right? People all wanting to vote each other off the island. Because no matter how much they talk about loyalty, they all just want to win $1 million. And that's what you have, that same dynamic at work, in families, in the workplace, in governments, driven by the wisdom that thinks it works without God. Evil, disorder, chaos. You don't have to look far to find it. In contrast to that, what's the outcome of the wisdom that comes from heaven? The text, verse 18, "Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." In other words, righteousness. Things go right. There is peace. You can have a clear conscience when you operate in God's wisdom, when your goal is goodness and you seek humility. I mean, that changes everything. And listen, we need to remember truth takes time. That's something that we need to understand. Truth takes time. In other words, it may appear for a time that the world's wisdom works, that good guys finish last, that the only way to be happy is to fight and claw and win at the expense of others. But that's an illusion that sooner or later will disappear like the mirage that it is. We have to keep the long view that God's wisdom does prevail in the end. That harvest of verse 18 that it speaks of may take a long time to come, but it will come. And I know many of you are waiting for that harvest, wondering if it will ever come, because you've been trying to live your life by God's wisdom. You've been seeking humility. You've been doing... And you're not seeing the fruit of it yet. If that's you, please be encouraged. Please know the harvest will come. God's word promises it. As surely as there is a God in heaven, the harvest will come to those who seek to live by God's wisdom. And there may be some of you who are operating by the world's wisdom and thinking that the bad harvest of chaos and disorder won't come. But I can promise you that harvest will come too. But again, the good harvest. One of many scriptures to back that up. I love Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Doing good. Again, the content of God's wisdom. If we're committed to that, harvest is coming. Next, the process of becoming a wise person, it's a lifelong pursuit, and it doesn't come easy. There's this thing called discipline that we wish maybe wasn't involved, but God allows some difficult things into our lives, and if we handle it well, we become wise. The writer of Hebrews says this about that process: no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. That same harvest that comes from wisdom, God's wisdom, righteousness and peace. Well, again, the harvest comes. Please believe that. Living by God's wisdom is worth it. It's worth it. I mean, there are so many voices telling you the opposite, that it's not worth it. It is. You know, our reason for being created, our reason for existing, is to bring glory to God. We do that when we live by His wisdom. And here's the good news. When we humble ourselves enough to recognize our need for God's wisdom, and when we ask Him for that wisdom, He has made promises to give us that wisdom. Even earlier in the book of James, do you remember this verse we looked at, James 1:5? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. Folks, that's a promise from God's word to us. If we see that we need wisdom, let's just ask sincerely. And God won't beat us up. He won't find fault with us. He might bring conviction, but he won't destroy us. He'll give us the wisdom that we seek. And so, do we need wisdom today? Let's all just bow our heads and let's ask, shall we? Let's pray.